good Jew and follow the Jewish calendar, there you go. The reason why we understand it is because it helps when we're reading. It helps us as we study the Bible. So we continue, and it says that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And there was one time where I'd been saved just a little while, and a bunch of us were out. Where I'm from, you could walk up into the hills and go through fields and everything. No one would even know you there. I was with a couple of guys, and we didn't bring anything to eat with us, and we got hungry, man. I said, look, there's a bunch of corn. I said, they're not going to miss if we take an ear of corn, which was probably wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But I claim innocence. I really didn't think about it being any kind of problem. So we each took an ear of corn, and then it was not quite ripe yet. And so it was a little green. So I tried, because I'd read this, I tried rubbing that corn in my hand like a corn cob, and I didn't listen to anything. Nothing was coming off there. I started trying to pluck the stuff off, and I took a big bite of it. And I was like, not only was it not ripe and uncooked, but that's when I first realized what Monsanto was doing to our corn. This was like feed corn. It was terrible. We just stayed hungry. Yeah, hard as a rock. But of course, that made me wonder about this. And I'm thinking, what went on here? When the Bible talks about corn, it's not always talking about corn on the cob. They actually, wheat and other types of grain, it's also called corn. And it's not accusing the King James Bible of error or anything. It is just a fact that what's wrong is with our cultural mindset, when we see corn, we think of corn on the cob. And actually, there's kernels on wheat and other things. And so that's why they could do this and get a little, and then, have a little snack. It's like Wheaties. So some of you probably don't know what that is. It's the breakfast of champions. Where when Bruce Jenner was a man, he was on the box. So Pharisees demand the letter of the law, but God demands the spirit of the law. Look at verse 2. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? No concern at all about anything other than the letter of the law. And even in the law, you weren't allowed to walk around with your ox. If you were to walk around with your ox, if you have a dog, most everybody here has a dog or a cat, and you weren't allowed to take your dog for a walk back then. But here's the thing: if you hear the dog yelping, and you go out and realize he's fallen down into a pit, you were allowed to pull that dog out of that pit. See, and that's why the law itself had a spirit to it. And so you wouldn't be violating the law under special circumstances like that. Well, that's what Jesus is going to tell them here in verse 3. And I want you to look over in 2 Corinthians real quick. Just so you know that I just always like to demonstrate that what you're hearing is biblical, scripture with scripture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, under the inspiration, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 3:6. If you're there, read it. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, the Holy Spirit led them to write the words of the New Testament, but we're not to become legalistic Pharisees and use it as a way of controlling people or hurting people. We are to function by the spirit of the law, the spirit of the writings of the New Testament. Not just, if you go by the letter, a lot of people will be unnecessarily hurt. And that's why the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And a lot of people don't know their Bible, so they'll say, well, that means, you shouldn't, as a Christian, you shouldn't defend yourself. You might kill somebody. And I'm against capital punishment because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And see, God knows people are that stupid. Yeah. So if you continue reading after Exodus 20, God goes on to explain the spirit of the law. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, but he then explains the spirit of that law is, if someone breaks into your house at night and you don't know whether they're armed or not, and you hit them over the head or throw a rock and hit them in the head or whatever and kill them, oh well, you're not guilty of crime. You're allowed to do that. And if you're in war and you're being attacked, or you know, you're whatever, you can be on the offense even, but if you're in war, killing is not a sin. Now, if you're in war and you take someone prisoner and he's got his hands up and then you still shoot him in the head, that's murder. You see? You got to use common sense, and there's a spirit of the law. So, that is why Jesus responded as he did here. Verses 3 and 4. Read that with me. And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone? Now, I'm not taking for granted that you know what he's talking about. So we're going to go back and look at that in just a second. If they accuse Jesus of being a Sabbath breaker, they are also accusing King David. See? Because of their attempt to stick Jesus with the letter of the law, they're really, actually, accusing King David of sin. You say, where? Let's go look at it. Let's take a moment and read the reference Jesus made in 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1. And I'll start in verse 1. You join in verse 2. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now right there, David is lying. What's wrong with it? Nothing. Why? Because you're going by the letter of the law instead of the spirit. Just like when Rahab the harlot lied to protect the spies at Jericho. What was wrong with that? Nothing. God rewarded her. Spared her life and that of her family, and she ended up marrying into the family of Jesus. If she had not lied, that would never have happened. You see, again, God assumes common sense. Don't use that as an excuse to go around and around lying, because God will know that you know better. But let's just say you were in Nazi Germany and you got a Jew hidden out in your closet. And a bunch of Nazis come in and say, well, it's the Jew. We want the Jew. And you say, ain't got no Jew here. What Jew talking about? You make fun. And he leaves. You just lied. And God will bless you for it. You saved a Jew's life. Amen. I know this isn't easy. You won't hear this kind of preaching most places. Go home and say, my preacher taught me how to lie. No, your preacher's telling you that there's a time and a place where the spirit of the law takes over. And if you do lie and not according to that spirit, then it's a sin. But you get married, you're going to run by the spirit or you're going to be divorced. Do I look fat in this? You know, narcoleptic. Oh, no, honey. You liar. It's because you're functioning by the spirit of the law, not the letter. And I've told this before, but she got her hair cut one time. And she says she was just talking about getting her hair cut, but the way I remember it is she got her hair cut and she said, you know, what do you think? I said, well, it's interesting. And we're still married, see? But I was kind of distracted. But, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with looking and saying, oh, that looks nice, honey. You know, even if you don't really, you know, care for it. Yeah, I liked it better long. That'd be...
This chicken needs sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. A little dry there, hey? But you can see what I'm saying. There's wisdom. Wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, then you'll use such things as an excuse to lie to people when you shouldn't be. But it's there, so why act like it's not? We should talk about it. Amen? And you should think about it and say, well, I'm not going to lie unless there's, you know, there's someone's life's at stake or something like that. So we end, let's pick up verse 3. It says, now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. Read verse 4. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. So here's the spirit of the law. The high priest is saying, you know, all we have, we don't have common bread, you know, just like bread that we're all eating, but we have the hallowed bread. Well, if you go back and read that, that hallowed bread was not to be eaten. But he recognizes a desperate situation here. And so under the same thing I was talking about lying, this priest is going to say, you know, the letter of the law says, do not eat that hallowed bread, no one outside of the high priest. But under these circumstances, he's going to give it to him. And verse 5, and David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So he's saying, it's, you know, it's kind of time for the changed bread anyway. You know, it's not going to hurt anything. Well, technically, it still wasn't supposed to be eaten. But David's making the case for the spirit of the law here. And so read verse 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. There you go. Jesus is talking about that incident right there. And he's saying, hey man, haven't you ever read there where Ahimelech the high priest goes ahead and lets David eat the bread? Even though it's against the law for anyone other than the high priest to eat that hallowed bread. Why didn't God strike David dead right there? Because there's the spirit of the law. And there's the letter of the law. Jesus knew that these men knew the implications of what Jesus said. See, Jesus is much, I mean, he's the smartest man to ever live. And so he was constantly showing these Pharisees, your legalism, your letter of the law mentality is not of God. And you remember, we'll see later when he says to him about John the Baptist. And he says, well, if you believe John the Baptist, why didn't you do what he said? And they'll go back and huddle and say, what do we say? We don't know. Well, a bunch of liars. And the Holy Spirit gives us the inside info. They did know, but they knew that if they said because John was not a true prophet, the people would have stoned him to death. Even though they did, that's what they believed. They didn't believe John was a true prophet because he was pointing people to Jesus. So they couldn't say John was a false prophet, but then they couldn't say they believed him because if they did, then the people would have said, well, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Why didn't you jump in the water and get baptized for the remission of your sins? Like he was preaching. So they couldn't answer him, so they said, we don't know. Yeah. Well, this is the first time that we read where Jesus is putting them on the hot seat. Because you think he'd be mad about them claiming John the Baptist was false. Imagine how upset they'd been if he had basically, they'd agreed and said King David broke the Sabbath. Because that would mean King David should have been stoned to death. It's just a beautiful thing. And then Jesus said this in verse 5. Read that with me. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's just great. Jesus is demonstrating that He is the Lord God of the Old Testament. You understand that? There's only one Lord of the Sabbath. And you get to know Him in Exodus. The Lord God Almighty is the only Lord of the Sabbath. So if God is Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus is God. Amen. Over and over and over, we're told that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And every false religion denies that. Islam is a false religion and denies that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Mormonism, which is a ripoff of Islam, is a false religion who denies that they say Jesus was the brother of Lucifer, a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower Society, is a false cult. And they deny that Jesus is God who came in the flesh. They say He's Michael the Archangel who came down as Jesus. All one after another, all religions and organizations that deny that Jesus is God who came as a man, they are a false religion or a false cult. Every single one of them. And then there are a few groups like the Roman Catholic Church who would agree with that statement, but they preach a false gospel and make it about works. Look at Exodus for a minute. Exodus 16. Read verse 25 and then 29. We just want to look at these two verses. Exodus 16, verse 25. Read that. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field." The Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath is a day unto the Lord. That's what it's saying, is that Sabbath belongs to the Lord. And Jesus just said He's that Lord. Look a few verses down, verse 29. Read that again. "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore He giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day." Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord hath given you the Sabbath. That's Jesus. And Jesus is the one who gave him manna. That's why He said, "I am that bread that hath come and cometh from heaven. I am the bread of life." He was the one who gave us the manna in the first place. Exodus 20, go over to chapter 20 and verse 10. This is in the Ten Commandments. Read verse 10. "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." That's Jesus who gave them the Sabbath. Look at verse 11. Continue reading. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." We don't have time to run all the references, but John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." That's Jesus. Jesus is the Creator. Well, Jesus is the one who gave them the Sabbath. And it says, "Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it." Why? Because the Lord rested. That's Jesus resting. On the seventh day in Genesis 1, when it says that God rested, that's talking about Jesus. Isn't that something? And Colossians 1 and elsewhere, it talks about Jesus making everything. know what's going on out there. They're coming to take us away. Aha. The Pharisees knew what Jesus was saying, even if cults do not. You have anyone in your life, friend, family, neighbor, coworker, whoever, as soon as they start to downplay Jesus from being God, that's, the Bible calls that blasphemy. You should pray for that person and urge them to repent. They're guilty of blasphemy. And we'll close in Acts 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. Says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Read verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Paul, or Peter here, is telling you that the word of God we just read in Exodus, given unto the children of Israel by God, and he's identifying that God. He says, he, who? Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That's what it's all about, folks. Daily, daily, you should want to get to know Jesus, everything about him. I guarantee you, there's some of you here this morning who, if you paid attention, you learned some things you never heard before. Because this stuff just isn't being taught. And you should feel a little closer to Jesus. I can tell you, every time I learn something new about Jenny, I just feel closer to her. Just little things. The other day, one of her sisters posted a little picture. Little Jenny. How old were you in that picture? Six or seven-year-old little Jenny. Can you imagine how cute that was? And she's sitting there with her older sister who's got some macho man with his without a shirt on, you know. And they're all, you know, teenagers or whatever. And then there's little 6 or 7 year old Jenny, just as cute as a button, in front of the art museum in Cleveland, wasn't it? And I just love it. Every time I see something like that, find out something more about Jenny. And I feel that way about Jesus. And, you know, I can't even, you know, it's hard to imagine, but, you know, we're never going to learn everything about him. I know that seems crazy, but he is so amazing. He's done things we've not even heard of. John told us that even when he was on earth for 3 years, well, I mean, his ministry was a little over 3 years, but he was on the earth for 33 years, according to who you talk to. We believe he's about 33 when he's crucified. And John said if everything he did during his ministry, just those 3 years, if everything he'd done, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold it. That's 3 years of time. Imagine he's been around for eternity. Yeah. We're just going to keep learning more about him, and every time we're just going to be in awe. I hope Jenny's somewhere near, you know, and we're learning something new about Jesus. She'll slap her knee. Can you believe that? When she gets really tickled, she's a knee slapper. She does. Jesus is amazing. Our Savior is God. He's not a created being, and He is God over all. And our life and eternal destiny is in His omnipotent hands. You see, the more you learn about Jesus, the more peace you have. And the more joy you have. You aren't going to be freaking out over some virus. You're not going to be panicking because you're running out of toilet paper. But even if you have, you know, some cancer or something like that, if you've taken the time now to get to know Jesus, then when those kind of things come across, you lose a loved one, maybe the closest person in your life or whatever. Of course, you're human. You're going to grieve. You're going to feel, you know, some sorrow and that sort of thing. But holding you up through it all will be what you know about Jesus. And as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, what you know about you because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, you are now eternally saved. You are now seated in heavenly places. Your name will never be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You are in the hands of the omnipotent God who's bigger than the universe and yet came down here as a man and died for your sins, paid the full price for sin, was buried and said, "You can't hold me down." Rose from the grave on the third day, conquered sin and death, which made Paul just shout out, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" They have none. The dominion of death, if you are in Christ right now, death has no dominion over you. And so the amount of fear you would have over what this hysteria like we're experiencing right now with coronavirus or whatever, you'll find strength and you'll find courage because you know you're in His hand. Something.